Let us pray. Holy God, your ways have always puzzled those who look on. Your story involves blessing senior citizens with a newborn, having your fleeing people be stopped dead by a vast sea, and then wandering through a desert for 40 years. It includes the call to prophets like Gideon to go into battle after sending half their army home, and sending the world's greatest gift to a young peasant woman, and killing that king on a cross. As we reflect on the letter written so long ago to the church at Corinth, help us to hear a message for our time and place. This we pray. Amen. It is a dog-eat-dog world, or at least that's how modern society seeks to frame life. Only the strong survive. Do you remember this? I'm sorry, you are the weakest link. Goodbye. And so much of life seems to be a competition these days. Even buying a house can feel like you're in the Olympics with the level of competition that is around. From an early age, we are bombarded with the North American idea that we need to be strong, to be the richest, fastest, smartest, biggest, bravest, all of the is-its that put us over and above others. We are to be the first and the best because these are prized titles, which bestow power and authority to control. This thinking is so pervasive that it is even baked into our economic system. The idea that only the strong survive is our twist or twisted take on Darwin's theory of evolution that drives so much of what is seen to have had value in our world. Even now, after the world had been brought to a grinding halt, as we start to rebuild, this is the dominant narrative spoken by many of our leaders. The problem with a world that prizes only the best, the brightest, the strongest is that so many of us are none of these things. And so we struggle and strive and hide our need out of fear of being called weak. We try to make it look like we have it all together, for fear that our vulnerability might show and we'll end up being rejected and beaten down. The problem with this is that we pretend to be okay, to hold on to the perceived power and authority that we have, and this is tiring and life-draining, as is that struggle to be number one. While Paul is not speaking directly to the situation that we find ourselves in, I feel he has something important to add to our thinking on what it means to be strong and weak. Our reading today comes from a section of the second letter of Corinthians that some scholars have called the fool's speech. In the preluding text, Paul speaks sarcastically as a fool and criticizes the way that the super apostles have been manipulating the Corinthians with their claims of special authority. These super apostles have been shaming, oppressing, and perhaps even physically abusing the people for their own advantage. And this is the stage that is set for the passage that we read today. In our passage, we see Paul not bragging about his own personal mystical experience of Christ or his success of what has happened in the past. You know that story, that road to Damascus, where he changes from Saul to Paul. And he doesn't go back to the Pharisaic ways that he seemed to have before. Because, oh my gosh, he worked hard to be the best, to prove that he was deserving when he was called Saul. Instead, what he does is something unexpected in his world and in ours. First, he rejects the traditional paths to power of his day, lineage, mastery through hard work, and special vision or insight, maybe not just of his day. And he leans into weakness, talking openly about the struggles he has had and what he refers to as the thorn in his side. He says that this thorn reminds him of who actually has the power and to whom the glory and honor go. He sees his weakness not only as a check on his ego, but also as the basis of his testimony as he witnesses to God's grace and God's mercy. Yet just like the word evangelism, vulnerability is a word that most of us tend to avoid. Vulnerability makes us feel, well, vulnerable and uncomfortable. It raises all of our feelings of fear and insecurity about ourselves and the world. We squirm at the thought of a spotlight being shown on our warts and our wrinkles. And yet, at the core of our faith story is a story of vulnerability, of God coming to earth as a baby, tiny, and at the mercy of those around him. The story of one who, in the sharing of divine love, never backs down, letting flesh be whipped, hands and feet nailed to a cross, whose body, when it could bear no more, died. And through that vulnerability, through that apparent act of weakness, we glimpse salvation. Just like Christ, each mark of weakness in our bodies and souls holds a story of God's grace. And yet so often we would rather hide our truth than allow that powerful story to be told. While we are busy hiding and ignoring our weakness, the reality is God is just waiting right there, looking to use it. Use it to connect us to each other. Use it to show divine love. Use it to create a better world and way. if only we would be vulnerable enough to omit what is there. In the book, Bullseye, Aiming to Follow Jesus, United Church minister Jamie Holton and Deb Johnson talk about six marks of Christian life. In their book, Mark 3 is authentic community. Authentic community, that place where you can be truly who you are, that place grounded in the love of God that says, I accept you regardless of who and what and where you've been. Authentic community. We want that, don't we? But it can only happen when we follow Paul's lead. When we humble ourselves and speak truth, when we allow ourselves to be seen, to allow God to work within our community, within us. You can't have authentic community without being vulnerable. After all, we're human. We all have our weaknesses. And yet, how often do we actually answer the question, how are you doing? With something other than fine or good. When I was in school, I'd often in the morning ask that question to the people around us, around me, standing in the halls waiting. How are you doing? Oh, good. How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? My sister died this weekend. It was a moment of stark reality, but was also a moment of authentic connection, a moment where somebody could be seen and heard and support offered. How often do we answer, how are you doing, with a fine, a good, instead of with the truth that's going on within us? And maybe that's not a tragic death of a loved one. Maybe it's the fact that my garden is growing so lovely and I have more than enough zucchini. It's amazing. Do you need one? That's an actual statement. If you need a zucchini, it looks like we're going to have a bumper crop. Or, hey, I'm really struggling with the news and the church's role in our history with First Nations. Or maybe, and this one we're a little bit better at, my grandchild, I'm going to have another grandchild, a great-grandchild. Authentic community, vulnerability, connection, truth, power. So many see that as weakness. Admitting that you can't do something, admitting that you're struggling, admitting that you need help. And that's a shame. Because as researcher Brené Brown has told us and seen in her research, without vulnerability, there is not connection. Without connection, we don't experience love. But to be vulnerable, We need to step beyond our shame, our fear, and our discomfort. To move beyond the thought that I am not good enough, I might not be wanted. And here again, our faith story helps us. For Christ was vulnerable, and in that vulnerability, clearly said there is nothing that would cause you to be separate from me. In that vulnerability, has said you are good enough that even I would go to death. In that vulnerability, in our weakness, Christ has said, you will not be alone. I am with you. My love surrounds you. Do not fear. Resting in those words, resting in that message, listening to the Spirit whisper strength within our hearts, we too can embrace our weakness, our limitations, our struggles. And be the community that Christ calls us. I want to leave us with the words of Paul taken from the Message, which is a paraphrase of our Bible. Paul says, "Now I take limitation in stride and with good cheer. These limits that cut me down to size, abuse, incidences, oppression, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weakness I get, the stronger I become." May God continue to work in our communities and within ourselves, giving us the strength and courage to face our weakness and to rely and trust that through God's power and love, the way will become clear, connection will become strong, and we can create authentic community both in these walls and beyond. Amen. Let us